In the two previous shlokas, it has been definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the sublime literature which surpasses all other Vedic scriptures due to its transcendental qualities. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. In this shloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but that it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering this patient and submissive essential, with great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lesson imparted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things knowable by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization.
Yes, and in that we will find both the knowledge. Because the living entity, anyone who has come to this material world, the cause is that he wanted to enjoy imitating Krishna. Just like it is practical experience, if we are associated with some big man and he is very popular, naturally a desire comes, if I could become an important man like him. So that is possible. So as soon as a living entity thinks like that he can also enjoy like Krishna, then he falls down and he is given the chance of lording over this material nature. But to help him, the Vedic knowledge is there. The Vedic knowledge gives him the chance of enjoying this material world under some principle, so that someday he may again come back to home, back to God. This is the Vedic literature. The chance is given because he wanted to enjoy. Just like, for example, one wants to enjoy a sex life. Yes, Vedic knowledge, Vedic scripture says yes. Just enjoy in married life, not like cats and dogs. This is the difference. So, without Vedic injunction, if one wants to enjoy by whims, then he'll be more and more intense. But if he follows the Vedic injunction, just like, what is the difference between sex life as married man and woman and without? So far sex life is concerned, there is no difference. But the restriction and the rules and regulations will not make him mad after sex life. Very well. Just like if anyone wants to eat meat, these are natural tendencies. So Veda says, yes, you can eat meat. But by offering sacrifice offer a sacrifice before the goddess Kali, in this way, actually, he wants to restrict, but one who is obstinate, he wants to enjoy, he is given some Vedic direction. He enjoy like this. For example, another example can be given, just like the drunkards. The drunkards are given concession. There are liquor shops. The government gives some license to a person that you can sell liquor to the drunkards. But this liquor is not available in every shop. There is a particular shop. One has to purchase liquor from that particular shop. That means government is discouraging, but one who is obstinate to give him some facility, this particular shop is established. Similarly, when there is allowance for sex life or drinking or meat eating or even gambling, that is not encouraging, that is minimizing the tendency under discipline. But so far we are concerned, we are above this discipline. A Vaishnava is transcendental. He hasn't got to train under this discipline, because he takes shelter of Krishna directly, he is given immediately all protection. Krishna says, Aham tam sarva papim mama kshayam. I shall give you all protection from sinful life. Therefore, it is practical experience in USA, the government is spending millions of dollars for stopping this intoxication habit amongst the younger generation. But the wonderful thing is, they inquire also from us, but as soon as they come to our movement, immediately give some. Why? That is the special prerogative of Krishna consciousness. Jashyasti bhakti bhagavat akinchana sarvai ganai tattva samasate sura. If one becomes Krishna conscious, then all the good qualities of the demigod will automatically manifest it. Harava bhakta sukhato mahat guna manorathina asato dhavudubhi. On the contrary, those who are not Krishna conscious, they have no good qualities. Harava bhakta. They are simply hovering on the mental platform and therefore they fall down.
The Vedas contain regulated principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter, and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together.
The Vedas, there is direction how to prepare by chemical process gold. That is also there. Gold, there is suggestion that you mix three metals, namely nickel, copper, and mercury, you will get gold. This direction is there, and many saintly person, yogi, they know how to prepare it, and they do it. So in that way, they meet their expenditure. They prepare gold, the chemical knowledge.
Above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform, and the highest spiritual realization is to know that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas.
This is called pravitti and nivitti. Pravitti means the living entity has come here to enjoy this material world. This is called pravitti. And the other side is nivitti. Nivitti means become detached to material life. So long he'll be attached to the materialistic way of life, there is no question of liberation. He'll be more and more entangled. According to his mind, he'll get a particular type of body, material body. And there are 8,400,000 species of body. So as soon as one gets the body, he becomes under the laws of the material nature. And the material nature means under the laws, the stringent laws, threefold miserable condition, that will continue. Therefore, the Vedic literature, they gives us opportunity to gradually renounce pravittinesham bhutana nidvittestu mahaphalam. That is a pravitti, inclination. But a Vedic student is trained up in such a way that ultimately he becomes renounced or detached from this material universe.
Every living entity beginning from Brahma, the first-born living being within the material world, down to the insignificant ant, desires to relish some sort of taste derived from sense perceptions. These sensual pleasures are technically called rasas.
And, but as you know it, they love very much intoxicants. And therefore they are after sugar. Sugar has got properties, intoxication. Wine is made from sugar, from molasses. So they want to be very much intoxicated. So this intoxication is not only in the human society, in the animal society, in bird society, in beast society. Loki bhavayami samadvasiva nityastu jantu nahitattva chodana. Bhavaya, sex intercourse, bhavaya, amisha, meat eating, madhaseva, intoxication, they are there everywhere, not only in human society. This is the pravritti. Now, the actual knowledge, actual education means to detach them, not to increase them. That the present moment the civilization is, they are increasing the desire. Everyone has got this desire, but that is called civilization. Eat, drink, be merry and enjoy. No, the human life is meant for being trained up to be detached, just like we are training our students. They are not, if not 10%, major portion, major percentage, they are detached. That is perfection. Gradually detached, just like if you have got fever, 105 degrees, you should not increase it. You should decrease it. If you increase your fever, it's a very nice thing. Let us increase it. Then death. As soon as it is 107 degrees, then death. So this material civilization is like fever. We should not increase it. Neither we should decrease it to such an extent that we shall die. Just like fever. Fever 105, 107 degrees, 12 to 6 degrees, 5 degrees, reduces, but it must stay at 98 degrees. If you reduce 98 degrees, 97, that is also not good. Similarly, our program is not to increase to the death point, neither to decrease it to the death point. Yuktahara viharastha. We don't say, don't eat. Eat. But don't eat more or don't eat less. That is our program. We don't say, don't eat. We don't prohibit anything. We don't say, no sex life. We don't say, no. Yes, sex life, marriage sex life, regulated sex life. So everything should be regulated. That is described, that is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita. Yuktaharo viharascha yoga bhavati siddhita. We are executing yoga. So yuktahara. And Rupa Goswami also says, anasaktasya visayam jatharham upajanjata nirvande krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyam uchyate. Anasaktasya visaya. This is called visaya. Material enjoyment. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. This is called viṣa. So one has to give up this viṣa. Narottamdas Thakur said, viṣaya chhariya serause mojiya mukhe bolo hori hori. Unless you are detached from the viṣa, viṣa is there, even in bird's life, beast's life. Viṣaya sarvatosa. So, in the beginning, we cannot give up this visaya all of a sudden. But we should be trained up not to be attached to the visaya. Anasaktasya visayam jatharam. As much. We must eat. We must eat to the point that we may not die of starvation. Not that there is nice food. Oh, let me eat. then I cannot digest and I go three times to the WC. Not like that. Anasaptasya. One should be unattached. That I have to eat something for maintaining both the body and soul together. Not that to the excess. Anasaptasya vishayam jatharam upajantate. If one makes his life in that regulated way, then he is as good as anasaptasya vishayam jatharam upajantate nibbandi krishna. And the Vishaya enjoyment should be in connection with Krishna. Just like we eat, and others also eat. But we eat in relationship with Krishna. Krishna has eaten, and we take the prasad. In this way, we have to make progress in spiritual life.
Such rasas are of different varieties. In the revealed scriptures, the following 12 varieties of rasas are enumerated. 1. Rodra, anger. 2. Adbhuta, wonder. 3. Shringara, conjugal love. 4. Hasya, comedy. 5. Vira, chivalry. 6. Daya, mercy. 7. Dasya, servitorship. 8. Sakya, fraternity. 9. Payanaka, horror. 10. Vibhatsa, shock. 11. Shanta, neutrality. 12. Vatsalya, parenthood. The sum total of all these rasas is called affection or love. Primarily, such signs of love are manifested in adoration, service, friendship, eternal affection, and conjugal love. And when these five are absent, love is present indirectly in anger, wonder, comedy, chivalry, fear, shock, and so on. For example, when a man is in love with a woman, the rasa is called conjugal love. But when such love affairs are disturbed, there may be wonder, anger, shock, or even horror. Sometimes love affairs between two persons culminate in ghastly murder scenes. Such rasas are displayed between man and man, and between animal and animal. There is no possibility of an exchange of rasa between a man and an animal, or between a man and any other species of living beings within the material world. The rasas are exchanged between members of the same species. But as far as the spirit souls are concerned,
we have seen sometimes the pigeons fighting. But a pigeon and crow does not fight. A pigeon and pigeon fight. This is also another indirect way of love. You'll see the pigeons, they will fight and again sit down in the assembly of the pigeons, not that the pigeon is going to the assembly of crows.
The rasas are exchanged between members of the same species. But as far as the spirit souls are concerned, they are one qualitatively with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the rasas were originally exchanged between the spiritual living being and the spiritual whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual exchange, or rasa, is fully exhibited in spiritual existence between the living beings and the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore described in the Shruti mantras, Vedic hymns, as the fountainhead of all rasas. When one associates with the Supreme Lord and exchanges one's constitutional rasa with the Lord, then the living being is actually happy. These Shruti mantras indicate that every living being has its constitutional position, which is endowed with a particular type of rasa, which is to be exchanged with the Personality of Godhead. In the liberated condition only, this primary rasa is experienced in full. In the material existence, the rasa is experienced in the perverted form, which is temporary, and thus the rasas of the material world are exhibited in the material form of rodra, anger, and so on. Therefore, one who attains full knowledge of these different rasas, which are the basic principles of activities, can understand the false representations of the original rasas, which are reflected in the material world. The learned scholar seeks to relish the real rasa in the spiritual form. In the beginning, he desires to become one with the Supreme. Thus, intelligent transcendentalists cannot go beyond this conception of becoming one with the spirit whole without knowing of the different rasas. In this shloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in the literature of the Srimad Bhagavatam due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. By submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full pleasure of the heart's desire. But one must be very careful to hear the message from the right source. Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly received from the right source. It was brought by Narada Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple Sri Vyasadeva. The latter in turn delivered the message to his son Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and Srila Shukadeva Goswami delivered the message to Maharaj Parikit. Just 7 days before the king's death, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from his very birth. He was liberated even in the womb of his mother, and he did not undergo any sort of spiritual training after his birth. At birth, no one is qualified, neither in the mundane nor the spiritual sense. But Sri Shukadeva Goswami, due to his being a perfectly liberated soul, did not have to undergo an evolutionary process for spiritual realization. Yet despite his being a completely liberated person, situated in the transcendental position above the three material modes, he was attracted to this transcendental rasa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by liberated souls who sing Vedic hymns. The Supreme Lord's pastimes are more attracted to liberated souls than to mundane people. He is of necessity not impersonal, because it is only possible to carry on transcendental rasa with a person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are narrated, and the narration is systematically depicted by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Thus, the subject matter is appealing to all classes of persons, including those who seek liberation and those who seek to become one with the Supreme Whole. In Sanskrit, the parrot is also known as Shuka. When a ripened fruit is cut by the red beaks of such birds, its sweet flavor is enhanced. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot, not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. The subject matter is so presented through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami that any sincere listener that hears submissively can at once relish transcendental tastes which are distinct from the perverted tastes of the material world. The ripened fruit is not dropped all of a sudden from the highest planet of Krishna Loka. Rather, it has come down carefully through the chain of disciplic succession without change or disturbance. Foolish people who are not in the transcendental disciplic succession commit great blunders by trying to understand the highest transcendental rasa, known as the rasa dance, without following the footsteps of Shukadeva Goswami, who presents this fruit very carefully by stages of transcendental realization. One should be intelligent to know the position of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering personalities like Shukadeva Goswami, who deals with the subject so carefully. This process of disciplic succession of the Bhagavata school suggests that in the future also, Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from a person who is factually a representative of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, a professional man who makes a business out of reciting the Bhagavatam illegally, is certainly not a representative of Shukadeva Goswami. Such a man's business is only to earn his livelihood. Therefore, one should refrain from hearing the lectures of such professional men. Such men usually go to the most confidential part of the literature without undergoing the gradual process of understanding this grave subject.
In India, there is a class. They are professional Bhagavad reciters. They make contract that he shall recite Srimad Bhagavatam, finish within a week, and he should be rewarded. These things are not recommended in the authoritative scripture. we should follow the footsteps of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. He is explaining Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning, Janma Adasya Jataha. Try to understand the philosophy of Bhagavat. Then, gradually, when you are accustomed to understand what is Krishna, then go to the 10th canto, wherein Krishna's rasa dance is described. Without reading in the beginning what is Krishna, if we all of a sudden jump over to understand the rasa dance, that is a very natural tendency. No, we should not go like that. First of all, try to understand what is Krishna. To understand Krishna is very difficult subject matter. But by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, we can understand little about Krishna. And then gradually, of course, the ultimate goal is to enter into the pastimes of Lord Krishna, but not by speculation or by material misconception, gradually. Pradubhave bhavit krama. There is a chronological way, a gradual process. Adu sadhya. First of all, sadhya, faith. Krishna consciousness is very good. This is faith. Adu sadhya tato sadhusanga. Then, to increase that faith, we should mix with persons who are actually developing or cultivating Krishna consciousness. That is called sadhusanga. Adu sadhya tato sadhusanga. Tata bhajana kriya. Then, after mixing, after associating with the devotees, naturally one becomes, eager to be initiated how to execute devotional service. That is called initiation, bhajana kriya. And if he is properly initiated and if he executes the order of the spiritual master, regulative principles, then anartha nivitti syat, then things which are not wanted in our life, that becomes vanquished. Just like nobody will die without sex life. Nobody will die without meat eating. Nobody will die without intoxication. Nobody will die without playing gambling. These are learned by association only. By bad association, we learn how to drink, how to smoke. Similarly, by good association, we can give up drinking and smoking. So this is called anartha. Anartha means which there is no gain, simply loss. Practically we can see, so a man who has learned to smoke is spending 1 pound or so, like that daily for smoking. At least we save that money. We don't smoke. So anartha. There is no necessity, still you have learned. So anartha nivitti syat, if one is actually initiated and follows the rules and regulations, he will no more be attached with this unwanted thing. Then anartha tatu nishtha, then firm faith. By these four processes, the faith becomes firm. Tatu nishtha, tatu ruchi. Ruchi means taste. It's like you are sitting here, unless you have got some taste to understand Krishna consciousness, you could not sit down. Tatu ruchi. Tatu nishtha, tatu ruchi, tatha shakti. Then attachment. Instead of being attached to this material enjoyment, one becomes attached to Krishna consciousness. In this way, tatu bhava, then ecstasy, then love of Krishna. So when you come to the platform of love of Krishna by this process, at that time if we try to understand Krishna's rasa dance, that will be very realizable. Before that, if we try to understand, the effect will be, we shall consider Krishna as a young boy of this material world, and the gopis are young girls, and they are enjoying. So let me imitate also, and I become Krishna, I become Gopi. That is it. The effect. Don't do that. First of all, try to understand Krishna. Then go to read Rasa Dham.
They usually plunge into the subject matter of the Rasa dance, which is misunderstood by
the professional leader. They won't read. Just like we are reading the philosophical side. They won't go. People are not interested. The philosophical. They immediately jump over the Rasa dance. And they think, oh, Krishna is enjoying with the gopis. Just like we read some novel. One boy is enjoying with another girl. They take it like, you see. So, that is degradation. Avaishnava mukhatvina puto hari katha amritam sravanamna kartabha. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami has a word that one who is not actually Vaishnava, a realized soul of this Vaishnava philosophy, one should not hear from Avaishnava mukhatvina puto hari katha sravanamna kartabha. Don't hear. So, actually, this Bhagavad Saptaha is going on in India, village to village. But you see, the effect is that they are not Krishna conscious. They are not as good Krishna conscious as you are becoming. Because they take it as a matter of refreshment. No. It should be taken very seriously and should be heard from the right source, then you will get the result.
Some of them take this to be immoral, while others try to cover it up by their own stupid interpretations.
Sometimes they say, oh, Krishna is so immoral. Yes, that will be the effect. Krishna is enjoying with others' wives and others' sisters like that. They take it. Do it. We have to sometimes explain. They question. Parikshit Maharaj questioned. Parikshit Maharaj questioned not that he was ignorant. He questioned this fact from Sukadeva Goswami. And it was answered so that others may understand that Krishna's pastime is not immoral. That is a highest, sublime, spiritual pastime.
They have no desire to follow in the footsteps of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. One should conclude, therefore, that the serious student of the Rasa should receive the message of Bhagavatam in the chain of disciplic succession from Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who describes the Bhagavatam from its very beginning, and not whimsically, to satisfy the mundaner who has very little knowledge in transcendental science. Srimad Bhagavatam is so carefully presented that a sincere and serious person can at once enjoy the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge simply by drinking the nectarian juice through the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami or his bona fide representative.